Again, I want to thank each of you for joining us for worship this morning. If you were able to watch last Sunday, you know that I preached on our need to refocus on the mission of the church. And I'm excited to share with you today that we have created a new partnership with a company that is not faith-based, but is located in the heart of Little Rock, Arkansas. Now, while I'm in Green Forest, which means I'm 161 miles north of the capital city, I do know by this company's address that they are in a prime location to minister to the needs of many who are homeless, transient, and suffer from general food insecurity. I want to thank them this morning for their compassion, their willingness to serve their community, and their witness of how partnerships between faith-based and non-faith-based entities can reshape the lives of individuals within a community. I think, you know, that word reshape is a word that most of us are comfortable using in like in a sentence, but perhaps it's not comfortable embracing. You know, COVID-19 has reshaped not only our world, but also many of the ways that we practice living daily, our daily lives. It has created changes or reshaped our world in ways that are not necessarily uncomfortable, but are definitely inconvenient. For instance, this social distancing aspect. As you've seen on our wide shot, I hope you could, how some of the members here are intentionally spread out. You know, social distancing is not really uncomfortable. It's just inconvenient. It's more inconvenient for people like me than my wife, let's say. My wife is, her natural, her personality is one of an introvert. So she's very comfortable not being around crowds, and she's very, very comfortable living in her own skin. But for people like me who are extroverts, this has been a hard time for me. I'm a person who gets my energy interacting with other people and planning, organizing activities, if you will, where people can come together for fellowship. You know, COVID-19 has also reshaped our current context with the suggestions and now mandates of wearing masks. You know, wearing a mask is not uncomfortable, but it is inconvenient. I can tell you that my biggest complaint about wearing a mask is that I never realized how bad my breath became throughout the day until I wore a mask all day. And let me tell you, I need to find some better toothpaste, I believe. You know, on another level, COVID-19 is also reshaping our world in regard to personal hygiene. I mean, we're told to constantly wash our hands, but now we're also encouraged to sanitize those commonly touched places within our home, and to sanitize those items that we purchase from our local stores once we bring them in to our home. And again, these changes are reshaping. It's not uncomfortable. It's just inconvenient. But as a society, friends, we know that change is inevitable. The evolvement of progress always brings about a reshaping of industry, culture, ethics, and practices of life experiences. For example, I refused to embrace social media platforms when they first emerged. What I initially saw as a tool of destruction, I eventually embraced as a tool of ministry. It took me over 5 years, friends, to adjust and embrace this reshaping of communication within our country. So here is my point this morning. As a Christian, resistance to things God may be using to reshape us goes against the lordship of Christ in our lives. Now, we know from the Bible that the work of God is to reshape every believer. That reshaping is to remove the need to be self-made and or the pride associated with self-determination. Reshaping by God is designed to purge each of us from the flaws, tendencies, and vices that are contrary to God's will for our lives. So this morning, I want us to talk about reshaping And we're going to begin our conversation by looking at a passage of scriptures that is found, it's a very familiar passage of scriptures that's found in Jeremiah chapter 18. And here's the irony of it. I found out in preparation for this sermon today that I have never preached on this passage of scriptures before. So it is as much and as exciting to me to look at this word as I hope it is for you this morning. I want to ask Dave to put our verses on, and I want to ask that you join along with me as we read from Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6. Verse 1 says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, 'Arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words.' So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel.'" It's our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church to conclude each scripture reading with the word saying, "This is the word of God for the people of God," and everyone responds, "Thanks be to God." Would you go with me in prayer, please? Holy Lord, as we come this morning and we look at your word, help us to understand how you are reshaping us right now, how you are molding us in new ways, so that the people of God may be a reflection of your love and your character to the world. Clear our hearts and minds this morning of all the things that may be flooding our thoughts and our concerns with duties of today, our concerns of tomorrow. Let us at this time, Lord, simply be present to hear your word and to experience you fresh and new this morning. This I pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but in the ancient world, pottery was everywhere. People used clay jars for storage and cooking. They used clay tiles for their roofs. They used clay bricks to line their ovens. They used clay to make figurines of decorations and even toys. So the potter was one of the most important craftspeople in a community. And we see in our reading this morning that God used the commonality of that day to give Jeremiah an object lesson about how God reshapes the lives of his people. And there's a key portion of this reading that I hope that we did not overlook. And that is this. As Jeremiah watched and understood the symbolism of God as the potter and Israel as the clay, he saw that if the clay pleased the potter would value that piece of clay and keep it, whatever it may have become. But if the clay was resistant to the right shaping, well, the potter would smash the clay and start again to get it right. The performance of the clay would determine the way of the potter with the clay. So Jeremiah used this imagery to comment on the coming smashing of Jerusalem, a smashed clay that had displeased the potter for much too long. Now it makes me wonder this morning if God is using the current contextual changes of our society to reshape the way the church worships, the way it serves, and the way it proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know. But let me tell you what I do know. I do know that God is reshaping the way Green Forest United Methodist Church worships, serves, and shares the good news of Jesus Christ. Our reshaping is uncomfortable only because it's unfamiliar. But from what I understand from our reading today about who God is, our reshaping is a necessity for the good of the kingdom and for the good of everyone's growth in discipleship. Now, I would be irresponsible if I did not state that COVID-19 has reshaped the way we will do in-person worship. So let me recount how that will go down as you join us next Sunday. When you walk in the door, we will, right off the bat, take your temperature. We'll escort you to and from your seats, and we'll make sure that you have a mask and that you're wearing your mask. And we'll also make sure to keep you at a safe distance from all the other attendees. Now, I've had some interaction with friends and church members about our new setting, and some have expressed concerns about it hampering or hindering our experience of the movement of God. Well, let me tell you something, friends. These new guidelines will not hamper God. They'll not stop the movement of God within this place. It will not stop the movement of God within your heart and soul. And it will not stop God's outpouring of His love and His grace to bring about transformation in your heart and in your mind so that you are being molded and reshaped in the character and image of our Creator. So wherever you may worship in person, and whatever restrictions may be in place for the safety of other individuals, I want you to know it will never deter the work of God in our lives. God still has His hands on each of us. And I say this with certainty this morning, for our text revealed a good news, bad news scenario that we can apply to our situation today. The bad news was this, friends. Judah was about to go through what appeared to be a destructive process. However, the good news is that in God's hands, the process wasn't going to be destructive, but it was going to be creative. And it's the same for you and me. God will create a new and faithful people out of the remnant of old and sinful people. Our scripture reading in the end was a message of hope to a people who were experiencing difficult circumstances. And I share it this morning for the same reason, as it's a message of hope for those of us who make up the church today. Listen, I found a closing illustration that I don't know well enough to tell, so I'm going to have to read it to you. And I want to share it because I think it drives home the point of our message this morning. It goes like this. A lady was on a vacation, and she was shopping in some of the finest of stores. And one day, she saw the most beautiful cup she'd ever seen. So she went in and bought the cup, and every day she would take the cup out and admire it. She would even talk to the cup and say, "I'm glad that I found you. You're one of the most beautiful possessions I have." So on her way back home, she tried to keep the cup wrapped up, but it was so beautiful that she took the cup out and was admiring its beauty as she drove home. Now the story goes on that eventually when she got home, holding the cup, she drifted off to sleep. And while she slept, she dreamed in her dream that the cup began to speak to her. And this is what the cup said. "You know, I've not always been what I am today. I once was nothing but clay and dirt until one day a master craftsman came along and took me out of the mire. I didn't understand it when he beat me and shaped me. I didn't understand it when he put me in the oven hotter than you can imagine. I couldn't imagine why he would paint me and then put me back in the oven. But you know, I learned to thank that master craftsman because if he had not molded me, I'd be shapeless and without form. If he had not put me in the oven of oppression, I'd have no structure. If he had not put that paint on me, I'd have no color. And if he had not put me back in the oven to bake me again, I would fall apart. So I want you to know that I thank the master craftsman." In closing, friends, I think it's important for each of us to remember that every day of our life, we are being shaped both physically and spiritually by something. What we have to do is ask ourselves, who or what is our potter? As the the potter shapes the bowl, so Christ shapes the kingdom and the people who make up his kingdom. He builds a people to himself as a sovereign act of grace. And you and I can share in his creative work through our faith and our actions. But before we do, we'll have to wrestle with this one thought. And it's not a comfortable thought. But it's one that even this community is going to have to answer as we begin to come back to in-person worship. So here it is. Will Green Forest United Methodist Church once again fall in love with our church community all over again, in spite of the social distancing and the mask? Will Green Forest United Methodist Church have an appreciation for the things that we took for granted? And will we allow ourselves to expand to be the church where it needs us to be in the future? And while I pose that question to the congregation I serve, I pose it to you as well, my friend. Whatever your answer might be, I believe there's never been a greater time in history for God to mold us into the people of faith He desires us to be. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.